Everything will be all right. We can get to that rock. Amen to God. I'm glad, thank God, for the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I think maybe next Sunday morning I may back up and take a text that I preached on last week or 2 weeks ago, and maybe preach. You know, it was last week, and take that thought and preach another thought out of that particular verse. I'm not sure. I may just preach on the thought from another text on Tuesday night of this week. But God is sure stirring my heart with it. Amen. And I'm going to preach from it one way or the other. I know that on the thought. But Song of Solomon this morning in chapter number 5. And I may just preach one thought this morning. One thought, one point. And we'll go to the house. Let's stand together and we'll read our text. Brother Jerome had an interesting prayer request in the Sunday school hour. We took some prayer requests and said, pray that the people here, we'll all get our hearts right with God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I think it's needful to get our heart right with God. Amen. For it's quite obvious that all hearts are not right with God. And may God work in us to help us to get that accomplished. Amen. Won't charge you nothing for that, but I may preach on it a little while. Some of you don't smile. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is a voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed up my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that text this morning. Let's ask God to help us and to provide the grace that we need and the help from the Holy Ghost to preach to your heart this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful for the Sunday school hour this day, for the word that we received there. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, that we have in the brotherhood. I thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion that we've sang this morning and the great truths that they've already conveyed to my heart. Thank you, my Father, for the privilege to stand in this place. And help me, I pray, to realize the awesome responsibility that I have this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. And, Lord, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that people might set their hope in God. Lord, that these little ones may see Christ in us and likewise come to a saving knowledge of Thee. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God upon me this morning. I pray, O God, for that fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost that only God can give and the liberty that God can give. Lord, I pray for deep conviction in this place today. Help us, O Lord, to carry our hearts back to Calvary and discover there the good love and the grace of God afresh and anew, that we might truly be revived, as the song has said. Save sinners by Your power, and help us, I pray, in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, our verse this morning is found there in number 10, where Solomon said by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Now, as we began in verse number 10, from this point on and following to the close of the chapter, we find the bride's response to the question that was made to her by the daughters of Jerusalem. They ask her the question, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Why is Christ so special in your life? What is He to you more than another beloved?" I want to say at the beginning this morning, my friend, as we begin through these verses, I told this to Sister Hall on our trip this week, that as we begin these verses of Scripture, I have got to search God and find the mind and the will of God for these next several weeks. I'm talking about in a way that probably I may not have in recent weeks. And the reason being, this text, I believe, is some of the most sacred ground, some of the most holy ground in all the Bible. Somebody said, "Preacher, why is that?" Because we're coming to a place where the bride here is describing her Lord. We find her estimation of Christ. If I may break it down in these words, and God will help me, I may preach on this thought one of these days for long. What think ye of Christ? I believe that is the word that these daughters were saying to the bride. What think ye of Christ? It's kind of like the Lord said to His disciples in Matthew 16 when He said, "Whom do the people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What kind of estimation do they have concerning me? And, of course, they give their answer. Some say that you're Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Christ asked this marvelous statement. He said, "But whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I'm going to ask you this morning, what is your estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does He mean to you this morning? Those daughters of Jerusalem realized that Christ meant enough to the bride that she was willing to forsake all things and all others that she might have Him and Him only. May I ask you that this morning? Do you value Him that greatly? My friend, that He means more to you than all things and all others. Is He more than your possessions to you? Is He more than a position in life to you? Does He mean more, my friend, than the pleasures of this life to you? Amen to God. What kind of an estimation of Christ do you hold this morning? Do you see Him as the altogether lovely one? Do you see Him as in the beauty of His holiness? Do you see Him, friend, as the sovereign of your life? Do you see Him as the Lord of your life and over your being? Did you see Him this morning as the only power upon this earth, my friend, to deliver your soul from the bondage of sin and from the darkness that surrounds sinners? May I ask you this morning the same thing, the daughters of Jerusalem. What is your beloved more than another beloved? If God will help me this morning, I want to try to preach on the first glimpse of His glory. Oh, may God help us. The first glimpse of the glory of Almighty Christ. Somebody said, "Preacher, Where did you first find the glimpse of His glory? It was at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And there's where the burden of my heart was rolled away. Somebody said, "Preacher, that's not very glorious. His body was beaten and mutilated beyond recognition. His visage was so marred that, my friend, he was known by no man." But I'm here to tell you, the beauties of the cross and the glories of the cross go far beyond the sight that is seen with mortal eye. Yes, sir, my friend, the glories of the cross extend down into the dark recesses of our soul and reveal to us the power of God as He reached down an omnipotent loving hand from glory and lifted our sinners out of their deep sin and despondency. Oh, thank God for the glories of the cross when our Lord, my friend, was reinstating everything that Adam had lost. Adam lost it all, but in Christ, hallelujah, we all have her back again. Where I first saw the light, friend, the burden of my soul rolled away. Just the first glimpse of His glory. I think it's befitting of that. You know, the Bible says that we ought to be ready to give every man a reason for the hope that lieth in us. And I believe those daughters of Jerusalem asked the bride that. What hope do you have in Christ? Why is your beloved? Why does He mean more to you than another beloved? Why do you esteem Him so highly? And friend, she did not delay. I know she probably wasn't a Baptist. Had she been a Baptist, she'd have no doubt started hem-hawing and hum-hawing around. Amen to God. I wonder now, if out in public now, if somebody asked some of you sitting in here this morning, "Well, what means this Christ to you? How do you esteem Him?" You'd have probably dropped your head, let your eyes fall to the ground, and shuffled your feet around. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, if we've been to Calvary and been lifted out of sin, we ought to be ready to give a notice. Yes, sir, my friend, to give a reason to folks for the hope that lies within our bosom. Son, her response didn't take all day. I mean, friend, she immediately gave an answer to that question. That's right. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh my, she said, on the very onslaught, "He's white and ruddy." Yeah. Hallelujah to God. I'm confident she went right back to the cross and began describing the glories of the Lord Jesus. Now I'm telling you, how can we talk about His glory without talking about the cross? Now how, my friend, can we describe Him and our esteem for Him without talking about our salvation? Yeah. Hallelujah to God. What is your beloved more than another beloved? I believe she reared her shoulders back and said, "My beloved has saved me. My beloved has delivered me. My beloved has brought me out. My beloved has birthed me into the family of God. My beloved has forgiven me of my sin. My beloved has washed me clean. My beloved has sealed me to the day of redemption. My beloved fellowship with me." How can we talk about Him without talking about our salvation that He's given us? Hallelujah. He said He's white and ruddy. White and ruddy. And He's the chiefest among 10,000. Huh? That first glimpse of glory, she went right to the cross and gave that reason for the hope that was in her. She said, "He is the captain of my salvation." Woo! Hallelujah to God. You know what it means to be a captain of your salvation? You realize that word captain means to be a file leader. It means to be the point man. Oh, yes, sir. I've told the story when I was in Vietnam, and on that last day, how we swept down that riverbed, and the 28 men in formation are sweeping down that riverbed. And that black fellow, my friend, was the point man of that platoon. I mean, he had to have keen eyesight, had to be ready and on guard, be alert and watching for the enemy, had to keep his eyes open, had to be a trained man. But he found up that day and tripped that booby trap that took the lives, or at least wounded, and took the lives of some 14 men. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying that could have been me out on that point, man. But that black man from wherever he was from, I don't even remember his name. But son, he took the load. That man died immediately on the battlefield. I'm telling you, the captain of our salvation, hallelujah to God, walked that Calvary's brow, and there on Mount Calvary, he suffered all the wrath of Almighty God, suffered our death and our hell. He is our point man. He is our fire leader. He is the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. He's white. She said he's white and ruddy. He's the captain of my salvation. Somebody said, "Preacher, where do you get that?" I'm going to tell you in a minute. Don't get in a hurry. I'm having too much fun right now. I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know what the Bible said in Acts 4, verses 11 and 12? They said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." Somebody said, "What about Joseph Smith? He's in hell." Somebody said, "What about Buddha? He's in hell." Somebody said, "What about Muhammad? He's in hell, my friend. There is salvation in none other." Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be? He is the only one that ever went to the cross and died, and there bore our sins in His own body." But I'm telling you, friend, even greater than that, He's the only one I know that 3 days later got up out of the grave. Hallelujah. He is. There is salvation in none other. No, sir. None other name. Neither is there salvation any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not in the name of the church. And it's not in a deacon or a preacher. It's not even in your prayer or your plan. Somebody said, "I prayed. Scoop, toop, to do. I prayed ever since I was a little boy. Now lay me down to sleep." Amen to God. Now I'm not going to go into detail, but part of that prayer I had known the end of it and prayed, and God honored it and answered it. And I was lost. Now you can believe that or whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, I'll tell some of you men what it was one of these days. God give me the time to do it and the grace to do it. But I prayed ever since I was a little old boy. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. That prayer ain't what got me into heaven. Somebody said, "Well, it's the plan." I've heard them say, "We'll take you through the Romans Road." It ain't even the Romans Road anymore. It's the Romans Expressway. Son, they go down there 175 miles an hour. All sin comes toward the glory of God. I believe that. For the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. I believe that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, save me. Well, you believe it. Now you're saved. I'm going to tell you what. They can take them down the expressway. But friend, His only name, salvation, is in a person. And He brings full-time conviction and brings a man to the end of himself and points him to Calvary that he might trust in a living God and be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you what Brother Matthew said. He said, "And he and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Woo! For he, not somebody else, for he shall save his people from their sins. Brother Steve was talking between Sunday school and church about a book he's reading and about a sin, the secret sins of a man's heart in that book. And I'm telling you, friend, we have treated sin too long like it is just a cream puff. I mean, it's not really too awful bad. I'm here to tell you, friend, Sin is an offense to God. Sin is transgression of the law. Sin, my friend, oversteps the boundaries that God has set for man. Anytime we step over that boundary, we offend the Holy God. Our sin that we commit is against the Lord and the Lord only. And it's a stench in His nostrils. Amen. Even in little thoughts of our mind offend God. Huh? I know that's right. Now stay with me. As the captain of our salvation, what do we see Him as? The Bible said He's white and ruddy. I believe we have the answer right there. White, no doubt, for purity. And ruddy is a rosy color. It's a red color. It's what it is, huh? And I'm satisfied. Buddy, and I'm telling you, God give me this. I didn't get it from no book either. I prayed in God. I wasn't satisfied with what Gill said. Neither was I satisfied with what Durham said. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost said. Buddy, when He said He's white and ruddy, He said He is the Lamb of God. Yes, sir. He is the Lamb of God. He is white and He's ruddy. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean He's white and ruddy? That white has to stand for the holiness of Christ. Son, in His mouth was no guile. Not one sin did He ever commit. He had to be the perfect Son of God. Without spot and without blemish, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, went up on Calvary's brow. And there, that white and ruddy one, that purified one, was tainted with the crimson foe of our sin, my friend. Yes, sir. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. I see Him, first of all, as a substitutionary lamb. Somebody said, how do you mean that? Well, it says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Wonder what color scarlet is. It's ruddy, friend. It's ruddy. It's rosy. Amen. They shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm going to tell you what she saw. Son, when she said, what if your beloved more than another beloved? That little old bride squared her shoulders back, said, He is my substitutionary lamb. For it was there on the cross that He bare my sins in His own body. Hallelujah to God. And when she saw Him and described Him, she said He's a substitutionary, a Lamb of God, that although He was white and holy and pure, He took my sins upon Him, and He's now white and ruddy one, for in His own body He bare our sins on the cross. If I may, friend, she saw her sins nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Where the songwriter said, we'll bear them no more. And I not only saw her sins nailed to the cross, she saw herself nailed to the cross. Amen to God. You ever seen yourself there? I should have been crucified. It was my ruddy sin that was there. My crimson sin that was there. But His white, pure wool like a lamb. Hallelujah to God. Wash me whiter than snow. And make me like wool, bless your heart. And today I'm pure because of the blood of the Lamb. Stay with me now. Not only the Lamb of God is a substitutionary lamb, our sins are upon Him. But I think she saw Him not only as a substitutionary lamb, but as the slain lamb. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 6. John writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Can you get a hold of that? Son, I'm telling you, John saw a marvelous thing. Saw a lamb standing. But that lamb was as it had been slain. Can you see it? Hey, look at that little lamb with wool as white as the snow, representing His purity and holiness. Oh, but mingled in that white and that pure, my friend, is a ruddy color. and it is the blood of the Lamb as He stands as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I'm glad, thank God, that He was foreordained as a lamb slain, my friend, to go to the cross and give His life there for you and I. Somebody said, preacher, that's all you preach about. That's all that's on my mind. Thank God I've been to Calvary. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved this morning. My sins are on Him. They're gone from me. I'm free at last. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't a man want to talk about being free? Why wouldn't I want to talk about being clean, holy, pure, righteous, without spot? Like old brother David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. Huh? Stay with me. As a lamb slain. As the lamb slain. I want to say He provides redemption.
Amen.
Now come on in the house a minute, children. I'm fixing to shock some of His little booties. Revelation 5:9, that same scripture text, said, and they sung a new song.
Amen.
Saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Stay right with me now. As He opened that book, no man in earth nor heaven was able to open the book. But one of the elders said, fear not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. I've got to stop right there and interject something. When Israel encamped and moved, guess who was the chiefest tribe of all the tribes that led the way? It was Judah. And here is my friend, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the chiefest among 10,000, hallelujah to God, because they lead the way for you and I. Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. But He said the Lamb of the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Nobody could open that book. Now I'm going to tell you something else, friend. There ain't nobody can open that book but Him. That's right. As a lamb slain, He has prevailed in the revelation. He has prevailed to open the book for you and I. I'm going to tell you something, friend. What you get out of that book don't depend upon you or your scholarly ability. It depends upon the work of the Holy Ghost in the person of Christ to prevail and open that book and give you understanding out of it. I was sitting over there worrying myself sick this morning about what I was going to preach. And the Lord said, have you prayed? And I said, yes, Lord. He said, have you read your Bible? I said, yes, Lord. He said, have you done everything that I've told you to do? I said, yes, Lord. He said, then why are you worried? He said, it's up to me to open it to you, ain't it?
Amen.
I said, I believe it is, Lord.
Amen.
And He said, if I don't open it, you ain't going to get nothing.
Right.
That's right, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. But I'm glad He's prevailed in the revelation that He can open the book. Do you know what it says in the book of Luke chapter number 4? When He went into the synagogue, said He took the book and He opened the book and He preached out of the book and He closed the book. And I'm here to tell you, friend, He is the only one that can open that book to you and I. Hallelujah. He prevailed in His revelation. But as that lamb slain, He provides redemption. John said there, and hath redeemed us to God by Thy blood. He hath prevailed in redemption. Now here's where some of you is going to fall out with Brother Hall. But if you fall out, you're just going to have to fall out. Do you know what? Anybody ever study out what the word redeem means? Huh? It means to go to the market and purchase. This being the slave market of sin. But I'm going to tell you in a general idea, when Christ went to the market, son, now don't nobody get mad, but there's more cucumbers on the table than me.
Amen.
egg in the carton. Well, I'm going to tell you who he bought.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you who he redeemed.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. He redeemed Hall that day.
Yes.
He bought Hall that day. Yes, sir, Brother Ricky. That day he bought Ricky, bless your heart. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Oh, hell, I love to proclaim it. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am, the songwriter says.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
He provides redemption. It means to go to the market and purchase.
Amen.
Sonny went to the marketplace just like, was it Hosea?
Yes, sir.
That had to go and marry that woman of whoredoms. Married that woman of whoredoms, and she played the part of the harlot, and she was down yonder in the slave market. And God said, Hosea, go down there and buy her back a second time. He went and bought her too, friend. Somebody said she already belonged to Him. I understand that. And you already belong to God. By creation rights, you belong to God. God created you. That gives Him sovereign rights over you. But I'm going to tell you what sin done, friend. Sin separated between you and your God. You better believe it had. Yes, sir. And that sin, you become a slave to that sin. But yonder on Mount Calvary, as the slain Lamb of God by His blood, He purchased us back out of the slave market of sin and brought us back into fellowship and union with Almighty God all over again. Hallelujah. I won't say it provides redemption. I see redemption's person. I see the person of redemption. He said, a lamb slain. That person is the Lamb of God. John said, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Friend, there is redemption in no other but in the Lord. I see redemption's, not only redemption's person, but redemption's power. He said, redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody said, well, you must be baptized. Hogwash. Somebody said, well, you must speak in a new tongue. I have been for all these years now. Praise God, and I'm going to tell you something. It's a tongue that can be understood, my friend, by all American boys and girls. I got a bad letter the other day from a woman. I read it Saturday, Friday. I read it, come over here, read it Friday night. Saturday night, Friday night, I guess. Oh, man, she fussed me. I said that they supported the station, but since they moved here, but they heard me preaching and said I was a mocking the sweet Holy Ghost of God. Talking about the other night when I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I've got news for you. And I got news for that woman. I was not mocking the Holy Ghost of God. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I am mocking a bunch of imbecilic morons that do not know how to interpret that Bible. Are you listening to me? I've had them stand there and tell me when a man tells me, son, that I have got to speak in some unknown gibberish and language in order to be saved. That's contrary to what I just read.
Amen.
And hath redeemed us unto God by Thy blood.
Amen.
I'm telling you, son, the price of our redemption is blood.
Amen.
Blood! Blood! Redeemed by blood!
Amen.
You better believe it.
Amen.
What? Know ye not that ye were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Son, I'm telling you, our redemption is by the blood. That's the power.
God, it's by the power of the blood. And down yonder in Egypt, when they put that blood on the door, didn't say a thing about somebody in there speaking in a tongue. Didn't say they got baptized. But I'm telling you, when the death angel come by, son, God was a hovering over them houses. Said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that word pass means to hover over. Where's the power of redemption, son? What bought them out of Egypt? It was the blood.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong with these folks. They try to tell you there's 8 or 10 different ways for men to be saved.
Right. Right.
One way here, one way there, one way another. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's always been by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah!
Amen.
From Abel right on down, son. From Adam right on down. By the blood. That's power. Colossians 1:14, talking about the Son of God, said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Even the forgiveness of sin. Redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. Tell me what more it takes to be saved, friend. Well, you know, we got to be baptized. Is that right? How many social security numbers you got tattooed on your forehead?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what salvation is in a nutshell. You ready for this now? It's pretty profound. Some of you won't get it. It's following Christ.
Amen.
When He walked by Peter and James and John on separate occasions, all He done was looked at them and said, follow me. And they left their nets and followed Him.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those were the apostles of the Lamb, and I do believe if it was so important that we speak in tongues or that baptism is... Oh, and I believe saved folk ought to be baptized. I believe we ought to be baptized. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to save you a bit more than you already saved.
Right.
No, sir. It's an ordinance of the church. You get baptized because you are saved.
Amen.
Come on now. I won't charge you a thing for that.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, why? We believe what you're preaching. Why are you preaching that? There's a whole lot of folk out yonder that don't. That's right. They want to be baptized, and some of them be baptized in Jesus' name, and some of them be baptized, and you know, and they got to have all this in order to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. She didn't say a thing about being baptized. She didn't say a thing about water. She said, I see Him white and ruddy.
Amen.
I see Him white and crimson color.
Amen.
I see Him white, but I see the sin of mankind being laid upon Him.
Amen.
I see Him white, but I see the blood that was shed.
Amen.
For the remission of our sin.
Amen.
Redemption's person, redemption's power, and redemption's purpose.
Amen.
You know why He saved you? I'm going to tell you why He saved you according to the text I'm reading out of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests.
Yes.
And we shall reign.
Yes.
On earth.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Some of you people don't have the foggiest notion of the glory there is in ruling and reigning with Christ. He has made us kings and priests unto God, our Father, for the purpose that we might reign upon this earth. Do you understand what that word reign means? That means we're going to run the show, buddy. That's right. We're going to run this thing coming one of these days. God, and God's purpose that. His Son will rule and reign with the rod of earth, and as kings and priests we'll be subject unto Him in that reign.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God, son.
Yes.
That calls for a whole lot of power being, and authority being given to us.
Amen.
Did you know the church right now has got enough power and authority to judge sin upon the earth?
Amen.
Didn't Paul say, I dare one of you to go to law against another? When you're going to judge angels and judge nations and you go to law against one of those, that are you not worth a judging in the littlest matter?
That's right. Amen.
Come on in the house, youngins.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, thanks to God, has got some power to Him, buddy.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes!
Yes!
He said, what? She said, what is your beloved more than another beloved? She said, well, He is the captain of my salvation. He's white and ruddy. But there's a second thing to that. Said He's the chiefest among 10,000.
Yes.
Now, and I get on some of you English scholars here. I think we got, well, one of them's going, we got a teacher in here this morning. What degree is that word? Is cheapest. Come on in the house, youngins. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no such word as cheapest. It's cheap, cheap, and cheap. It ain't cheap, cheaper, and cheapest. That's right. He is the cheapest among 10,000, she said. Woo! That puts him in quite a superlative degree, friend. You can't get no higher than that. If I break it down to you, say, what is that, beloved, more than another beloved? Why, she said, if you lined up all the angels of heaven and all the sons of men, he's worth far greater value than all of them. He's the chiefest among them all. And that word chiefest means he's a standard bearer. He sets up the standard, son. Huh? Carries the banner. Somebody said, what is that banner? It's the banner of love.
Amen.
He sets up His standard over us, and His banner is a banner of love.
Amen.
How great is He to you this morning? I believe here's what she was saying. She's saying, He's not only the captain of my salvation, but He is the conqueror of all my enemies.
Amen.
He is my standard bearer.
Amen.
He's my conqueror.
Amen.
You ask me what I think of Christ? He has conquered all my enemies.
Amen.
Somebody said, how? How has He conquered sin? Love covereth all sin.
Amen.
Because of His love for me, He has covered my sin.
Amen.
And because of my love for Him, I abstain from all sin.
Amen.
Therefore, love covereth all sins. Why, He's conquered sin by His wonderful love.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, preacher, how does He conquer Satan? By His Word.
Yes.
Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school three times over, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, my friend. And three times over, he conquered Satan by His Word. How has He conquered the world? By our faith. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Well, he's a captain of my salvation. He's the conqueror of all of my enemies. But now look here, and I'm honest. I just about cried at this last night and again this morning. Do you know really how He's conquered our enemies? You know what the standard bearer is? Stay with me just a minute. He has conquered our enemies and become the standard bearer for you and I by His great achievement.
Amen.
He's done things you and I ain't never done. You ever read 2 Samuel chapter number 23? Talks about David's mighty men. And it says, let me just read a little of that for you right quick.
Amen.
It won't hurt you to listen to it. These be the names of David's mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. What made him chief among the captains? That he sat in the seat. May I tell you? Get this now. He took one spear, and killed 800 men with one spear. That's quite an accomplishment, folks. Stay with me now. He said, and after him was old Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Dodo. One of three mighty men with David. Said when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel gone away. Said he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. Said after him was Shammai, the son of Agi, the Hariite. Said the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and he went out into a patch of lentil and defended the ground.
Amen.
And I underlined some words down here. It said he slew, he smote, he defended, he smote, he slew, he slew, he slew. And then it gets to one of these fellows and said, howbeit, he attained not to the other three. He wasn't quite as chief as they were. But they reached that position by the accomplishments in their life. In doing what no other man could do. Doing what no other man could or did do. What is our beloved more than another beloved? Well, let me tell you what he is. He's not only the captain of my salvation, but is the conqueror of my enemies. He marched into the corridors of the dead, the doomed, and the dead. And marched out! And in doing so, he's conquered death, hell, and the grave! What an achievement, friend! Death is under his feet. Hell is beneath him. The grave he has trodden upon. And the power of the grave, which is sin, he's overcome. I'm going to tell you why he's a conqueror of our enemies, friend. Look what he's done. Look at his might, his power. Look at his boldness, his courage. Some of these little old girls in the world today, they want these men that can roll up their sleeves, you know, flex them muscles and make them out to be something. Oh, I want that muscle-bound boy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. None of the muscle-bound boys accomplish what he has done.
That's right.
Jerry, I'll tell you in a New York minute, 365 foot down in a dark grave.
Amen.
Ain't that right, Jerome? What is our beloved more than another beloved?
Amen.
He's the captain of my salvation.
Amen.
He's the conqueror of all of my enemies.
Amen.
She said, that's just a glimpse of his glory. You wait till I'm done.
Amen.
You wait until I finish these next 5 or 6, 7 verses of Scripture.
Yes,
amen. I'll tell you all there is to know about him.
Yes.
That I know.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I say to you this morning, in closing, he ought to be the conversation piece in all of our conversation. He ought to be the centerpiece at our kitchen table today as we eat. Our tongues should be the pen of a ready writer.
Yes.
Ready to give a reason to every man and any man for the hope that lies within us.
Amen.
Well, why do you go to church?
Right.
I'm glad you asked me. He's white and ruddy.
Yes.
Chiefest. Well, I tell you, the scholars of today would say, well, you just didn't use good English in that. Neither did God.
Amen.
But he's sure got the point well across.
Amen.
That there's none that can achieve and attain
Amen.
To what he has.
Amen.
Howbeit they attain not to the other three.
Right.
Been some mighty men, but they ain't none of them attained.
Amen.
To his exploits that he's done. He's white and ruddy. And you know, when she closes out that thing, she stops, I believe, and scratches her head just for a minute and said, if I ain't said enough about him, let me say this. He's altogether lovely.
Amen.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I ain't read nothing on this, but I got to say it on there. When she said he's altogether lovely, you just take this church, for instance. Some of these folks go home. Some of these other folks on this side of the church go home. Some of you folks in the middle, we all go home. We're still the church. but we're not all together. We're in various places. But when we come in here to service times, we're all together.
Amen.
You know what that little bride said? She said, when you take Jesus, take this and this and this and bring it all together.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
Yes.
When you put Him all together in the right perspective, He's lovely. He's lovely. Let's stand together. I've tried to encourage your hearts a little bit this morning. Maybe look a little forlorn. What is thy beloved? My Father, I'm thankful this morning for the privilege doing my best to catch a glimpse of thy glory and portray it to the people of this church. I realize, Lord, that my vocabulary was quite inadequate, and my understanding was not what it ought to be altogether. But you have prevailed to open the book, and you can open it to thy people that they might catch a glimpse of the glories of Christ, knowing that it must begin at the cross, at the cross. Now there may be folks here today or by the radio, they've never trusted Thee. They've never been saved. They don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven. I pray You'll move in a wonderful way to grant repentance and faith that old sinners might know You. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do in the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.